Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Welcome back to the Your World Today. My name is Anisa Isak, and as I said, I will be with you just until before the Maghrib Adhan. Now, we are going to be speaking to Rim Sara. She is a French academic and commentator, a PhD candidate in comparative law at the University of Toulouse, capital in France, and Rim Sara's research focuses on religious freedoms, civil liberties, constitutional law, and human rights in Europe, North and North America. She will be speaking to us live from Toulouse in France. We are going to be speaking to her with regards to two bills that the French government has adopted, which it says will strengthen its ability to fight terrorism and what it terms Islamist and extremism. And this comes after a series of attacks that have hardened feelings of insecurity ahead of next year's presidential elections. Rim, assalamu alaikum, and welcome to Radio Islam International.
Wa alaikum salam, thank you for having me.
Shukran for making the time. And this is pretty interesting. I mean, we've seen a lot of Islamophobic articles or issues that have come out in being written about in several articles in the past few days, especially from France. And I think more important right now are these two laws that have been adopted on Thursday and Friday, which say that it will be used to tackle terrorism. Can you tell us a little bit more about these laws and why they've been implemented?
Yeah, so in the aftermath of the too many horrific terrorist attacks we've been through, the government has been responding with quite tough laws aimed to tackle terrorism, except that we have a lot of laws. I think in Western Europe, we probably have one of the toughest legislative body tackling terrorism. So it seems like every time there is a terrorist attack, automatically we pass a law. And so this first law that was adopted on Thursday aimed to reinforce the law of 2017 countering terrorism as well, and especially reinforcing the use of algorithm to detect people who might be at risk of becoming radicalized people or who are on the verge of radicalization or committing a terrorist attack. And the second law is the law fighting, so-called law fighting separatism, the law strengthening Republican values, which is aimed to tackle so-called separatism, even though it's nowhere to be defined. And this law precisely come really to restrict religious freedom by using security, basically. And we can talk a little bit about it if you want. But really, it's all about limiting civil liberties in the name of security.
Mm-hmm. I think we saw this with the arrest or the imam in the masjid. I think he, on Eid day, had used some of the ayah from Quran as well as a hadith, and he was sacked for reciting these verses, which was deemed to be contrary to values of the Republic. As a South African, that just doesn't sit right with me, so I can only imagine what this must feel like for Muslims and people who would stand and support Muslims in France.
Exactly, and actually what it is quite worrying. As you probably know, we're supposed to have separation of church and state in this country. Mm-hmm. And obviously it means the state shall not interfere with religious affairs and vice versa. But what happened here with this law, you have this notion that religious leaders and especially imams are supposed to respect Republican values. So, for example, if they want funding, they have to respect, they have to sign a contract to respect those Republican values, even though those values are nowhere to be defined. And what we're witnessing is that the government is using those type of laws to basically impose their own version of what Republicans' values are. Mm-hmm. And that ends with that kind of situation when you have religious speeches being monitored. And I think it's quite dangerous. It's a red line cross, because in that case, the government, you can think about the worst and think that the government can basically tell you what is right to practice or not, even though it should be up to the believers to debate those kind of issues. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So It is a red line we are crossing, and unfortunately we are using laïcité, which is this notion that religious freedom, freedom of conscience should be protected and the state remains neutral. And in that case, we are using laïcité as a tool for hypersecuritization. And it's a dangerous line to cross, because I don't think there is any way we can go back from that. Yes. And the state is not here to monitor religious speeches.
Mm-hmm. Now, this has put Muslims, very concerned, because how do these laws really affect them now that they have been implemented? What happens to Muslims, especially with regards to looking at the fact that the separatist bill that you spoke about?
So first of all, one precision need to be brought. So the law was adopted by the National Assembly, but it was not signed yet by the president. And it's going to be referred to the Constitutional Council for constitutional review. So honestly, I think there are a bunch of amendments that would be deemed totally or partially unconstitutional, especially those regarding, homeschooling, which has been really restricted, as well as freedom of association. So there is still hope that the Constitutional Council might declare some of these amendments unconstitutional. But otherwise, it basically means that we are, unfortunately, again, putting the blame on Muslims, accusing them of crimes they haven't committed. And I think it's relevant of the failure of the state to protect its citizens. And every time the state failed to do that, failed to prevent radicalization, failed to prevent terrorist attack, they passed new laws to show that they are tough. Right? Also responding to a very conservative part of the electorate to show they are, quote unquote, doing something, even though any serious counterterrorism expert would tell you that these kind of measures are at best useless, at worst are going to cause many divisions and would put at stake the most basic civil liberties. And, you know, Muslims will be the first targeted, but also the most vulnerable minorities who dare to raise concern about civil liberties. So, again, let's wait for the Constitutional Council and see what happens.
All right. So we had the advocate for Amnesty International, and Sophie St-Pierre, who said that the anti-terrorism laws, like others before, it was too broad and too vague. Mm-hmm. Also raised concerns as it could be misimplied. Is she right in saying that?
Absolutely. And actually, that's also a point I've raised many times. You know, the more blurry the wording of a law is, the fuzzier the concepts used are, the more dangerous and the law is in terms of protection of civil liberties, they are weakened. And for example, there is an offense of separatism that has been created in that law, even though nobody bothered legally and objectively define separatism. So anything that the government deemed unacceptable will be considered separatism. So for some politicians, the mere fact of wearing a headscarf is considered as political Islam and separatism. For the Minister of Interior last October of 2020, he declared on live television that the existence, and I talk with you guys about this case, the existence of ethnic food aisles, especially blaming halal and kosher food aisles in supermarkets, was a sign of separatism. So the thing is, anything and nothing can be separatism. And as you can imagine, when you don't put definition, and especially in a law, when a comma, punctuation is important, it's fuzzy, it's broad, it leads to legal uncertainty, and it really puts at risk civil liberty. So I absolutely agree with her. It's broad, it's fuzzy, it's not well written, and it's I don't think, honestly, it will help. Or at least the whole bill will have a constitutional review, really. Let's see.
Yeah, let's see. Well, you are going into elections soon, so are things going to get worse for Muslims in France as you approach the elections?
You know, Muslims are the good diversion to basically make us forget about the disaster we are currently in regarding the pandemic, the economic situation, the rise of poverty, and of course, all of those, the pension reform, of course. So every time we have a social crisis, we usually use, laïcité Muslims as a tool to basically make people forget about what mm-hmm. we are currently going mm-hmm. on. So, yes, of course. I mean, Muslims and really any vulnerable minorities were just asking for the government to be accountable, whether it's to fight discrimination or racism, you know, whether it's, you know, and unfortunately now when you are an activist, you are considered a potential threat. Mm-hmm. And it just shows how human rights and freedoms are fragile and we should not take them for granted, even in advanced democracies like ours. Because when you're not careful, really, a government, by just passing a law, can really restrict those liberties even more on the ground of security. So, yes, we will have election, and unfortunately, the debate is far from being closed. And I'm sure we will have more headcap debates in the coming months when the election of 2022 will start. Actually, it's already started. So it's all as well of political identity, cultural insecurity, and political parties trying to pander to the far right, really. Mm-hmm. Because in the end, it's all about that.
Yes. So it just goes around in circles.
Basically, yes. Unfortunately, we just never learn.
Yeah. All right. Well, Reem, thank you so much for giving us an update with what's happening. It's good to understand a little better. Coming from someone who's living in the country, I'm sure, you know, for us it's difficult in South Africa to understand what it must feel like, because we enjoy the liberties of being allowed to practice our religion openly without any oppression or any, you know, laws that stop us in any way mm-hmm. from doing so. And we're grateful for that. So it's when hearing all of this, it really makes it, all we can do is say that we pray very hard that things change, but as you said, it inshallah. Goes around in circles, so inshallah we'll just have to keep praying.
Absolutely, and thank you for this opportunity.
You're welcome.
I hope it was helpful, and
it has been. Yes,
stay
definitely
tuned.
Yes, thanks so much for your time. Assalamu alaikum.
Take care. Alaikum salam.